Blog Talk Radio.
Praise I bring to you, my song I sing.
Well, my brothers and sisters, we're back. Yes, indeed, we are back. We're back again. Yes, indeed. For another episode. Yes, another very precious episode of Hidden Gospel. Yes, Hidden Gospel Revealed. And I'm your host, Dedim Yah, of Covenant Remembrance Ministries. So very thankful. Yes, indeed. So very thankful to the Most High for the opportunity to be back with you here again to speak these very precious words. I said very precious words, which the Most High has granted me. Yes, indeed, which the Most High has granted me for the blessing of His people, even the reconciliation of His people. Well, the Most High has told me, yes, indeed, that I have for Him some very important, yes, very important things for Him to do. He told me because of what I must do, He said, yes, indeed, that I would accrue some very powerful, yes, indeed, some very powerful friends as well as enemies. But He told me that in doing for Him that which He has asked of me, He said to me I would have His protection and His guidance. And for that, my brothers and sisters, I can only say that I am utmost, yes, indeed, that I am utmost thankful. The Most High has told me, yes, indeed, He's told me, that in doing for Him that which He's asked of me, I would have His protection and His guidance. What is it, my brothers and sisters, that He told me that I must do? He said, I must tell you things. He said, yes, indeed, I must tell you things that men have done everything, everything they could since the dawn of human fall to hide, to deny, to pervert, to silence, and to destroy. I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, that as man has grown more and more diverse in his reasoning and in his thinking, men, my brothers and sisters, in so many ways have sought to evade, ignore, deny so much truth, which absolutely, without question, should never have been ignored. And those of us who know the truth, my brothers and sisters, know that the Most High has made a promise to His people. Scriptures speak of what is called. I said the Scriptures speak of what is called. His promise, whereby He said there must come a time. I said there must come a time of what is called the times of refreshing. Did you hear me, my brothers and sisters? The times of refreshing. When He said that He will bring to mind, in fact, Messiah Himself as judge will bring to mind all things, even to remembrance, all things the Most High has spoken by the mouth of His holy prophets since world began. The question I must ask, my brothers and sisters, is this. When the Most High indeed does this, who, my brothers and sisters, will be able to stand? He said that He must, in fact, bring to remembrance all things spoken by the holy prophets since world began. Why? It is because purity and completion, my brothers and sisters, offers but one choice. I said purity and completion offers but one choice. Nevertheless, though this be so, the world we live in, yes, indeed, the world we live in, has sought to sustain a multitude of diverse doctrines, which by no means could be true in all things to the will of one. Did you hear, my brothers and sisters? that by no means could in all things be true to the pure, perfect will of the One. He said, go forth and teach all nations. Oh, it sounds like the same standard. Go forth and teach all nations according to everything which he had declared. Everything that he has spoken unto them. Go forth and teach all nations, teach them everything. And he said, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Think about it, my brothers and sisters. For he said, all power from on high, all authority from on high has been given unto him. Did you ever stop to consider, my brothers and sisters, that he didn't say that any nation was allowed any form of misrule or compromise after the perversions that were already extant in the minds of so many? Hear me what I'm saying to you, my brothers and sisters. We look around and we see a world divided because of so many diverse contentions. Hey, it's not because of knowledge that this world is divided. It's in a lack of knowledge that our peoples, peoples of the whole world, are divided and destroyed. Not just any one people. My brothers and sisters, for lack of knowledge, men have made all kinds of suppositions with regard to who Messiah is. Who is Yah? What is his gospel? For lack of knowledge, my brothers and sisters, men have fallen victim to a multitude of misrepresentations, which by no means can be or are they true to the will of One. There's a lot I want to talk about tonight, my brothers and sisters. Yes, indeed, there's a lot I want to talk about tonight. A couple of days from now, there's going to be a symposium in London, England. A self-professed Bible scholar, man by the name of Joseph Atwell, I want to talk about something he has to say. There's an article that you could find in the chat here. You might want to look up if you can't get it through the URL that I put there, and it's a rather lengthy one, yes indeed. You might want to look up an article called Self-Professed Bible Scholar Makes Explosive Allegation. It says that Jesus, the allegation about Jesus, he says, that he believes could rock the Christian faith to its core. I believe in many ways, even though I do not fully agree with everything said here, it is a timely article in that it does challenge, it does challenge what is present day called Christianity. Those of you who listen to my show on a regular basis know that I don't call the faith of the early church Christianity. I know it was not called by that title. Messiah was not a Greek Christ. In the East, my brothers and sisters, he was known by such titles as Mashiach, the Anointed One. But there's another title, my brothers and sisters, that they did some of everything they could to hide from you, to destroy from the conscience of men. And it was the title where the Messiah was known as the Kurdee. Some scriptures, and I can show them to you. I talked to you about where they are. Luke 1:78 calls him the day spring from on high. Many who know that title know exactly what it's talking about. One scripture calls him at Revelation 22:16 the morning star. The true morning star that cast out all the darkness that would reveal the light the world would obscure. There are scriptures, my brothers and sisters, that call him, I'll give you another example. Well, like I said, well, we talk about New Testament scripture. Let's go and use that. 178, Luke, in the NESB or the NIV. It's a lot of the texts that use the Dead Sea Scrolls as reference. Call him Sunrise. Well, my brothers and sisters, I can only tell you that in the ancient language, Ker meant sun, Pe meant rise or to fly. Very important to understand this. It's important to understand this in the context that there was an ancient empire throughout the East. The West wanted to call it Anatolia, and it meant the East or Orient. In the East, my brothers and sisters, think about it. The territory in the East was called Kurdistan. The land in the East, my brothers and sisters, and the one who was known to have, at the hand of Yah, established the coalescence of that empire, was called the Kurdee. Your King James Version seeks to call him at Isaiah 45 by the title Cyrus. But for those who understand that the T and the S were sometimes used interchangeably, like in words like tsunami or tsetse fly, or looking at the word nation and realizing that sometimes they use T's for S's. Think about also sometimes they confuse such letters as the C as C or K sound, sometimes an S sound. Well, I can tell you, if you look at that name Cyrus and see that that C is a K, and S on the end could be a T, and sometimes they chose to interpose letters at times. Recognizing also that the R, RD, the way it was said with a roll in some Eastern tongues, D's and T's, related oftentimes interchangeably. In fact, even to this day, there are those who speak with a strong Eastern accent, and instead of even sometimes African accent, words like them are pronounced them with a D. You will understand how it's possible for man over the course of time to misperceive the original vocable. Kind of like looking at the idea that in parts of the East is still worship after Roman influence, the pagan god Artemis. Well, think about how far, if you go far, far, far to the East, as far as Japan, Artemis was changed to the name Amaterasu. Well, actually, it's a question about which one was first. Amaterasu, Artemis. I think you understand what I'm getting at here. Well, those of you who listen to this show on a regular basis know that I do not aspire to such titles as Jesus. It wasn't what the Messiah was called. Nor was he called by the title Christ. Christ is a Greek term. Jesus, hey, Jesus, Isis and Zeus, didn't have meaning in the ancient languages per se. Messiah was never called by such names during his lifetime. That is something that was contrived by man. We know that the title in the scripture says you should call his name, well, actually 121 Matthew, Mattiah, not Matthew, but Mattiah. Matus, wow, Greek again. 121, it says you should call his name, if you put it correctly, it's inferred without question that the original title would have been Yeshua, Yahshua. in the context that the root word is Yasha. And it's the title that relates that he will deliver his people from their sins. And it is certainly, my brothers and sisters, before the Most High, a sin to even think that the name of the Most High, the thoughts of the Most High, the doctrine of the Most High, the gospel of the Most High, the salvation of the Most High, if you will, to think that any of this, I hope you understand, my brothers and sisters, that any of these are after a pluralist ideal or anything that seeks to preserve the diverse standards and ideals seeming wise to men. In fact, my brothers and sisters, the gospel, some say the God spell, is the message of Yah. It is not, my brothers and sisters, it is not the multitude of pluralities that are the messages, the spells, if you will, the social coalescences, the hegemony, the controlling bodies of knowledge that establish the political and social and cultural, national, pseudo-religious idolatries that men follow after due to a lack of knowledge. The Bible scholar, which I self-professed Bible scholar named Joseph Atwell, symposium that he seeks to bring to bear a couple of days from now, October 19th, would be Shabbat. He makes a what some would call a very spurious claim. He said, I'll read this from you. Okay, first off, the article says, self-professed Bible scholar makes explosive allegation that, well, he put down the name Jesus, about Jesus, he says, that he believes could rock the Christian faith to its core. It says, on October 19, a self-professed biblical scholar, and by the way, please, somebody try to check this as you see it there in the chat, try to check this URL that I put there and see if it works for you. It may be that after the dash in he, you might have to, if there's a space there, you might have to put it together and see if that works. I'd appreciate it. But it says on October 19th, self-professed Bible biblical scholar Joseph Atwell is planning to make public some very flammable allegations. At a day-long symposium called Covert Messiah in London, England, he's set to unveil purported evidence that Roman aristocrats manufactured Jesus Christ, a claim that if substantiated, he said, would devalue the core of the Christian faith. Only problem, most biblical experts disagree with the scholar's pronouncements. We move a little further into the article. A press release announcing the reported new evidence claims that Atwell has discovered ancient confessions that reportedly prove that Romans invented Jesus Christ in the first century. This Mr. Atwell has long argued that the faith system was used as a political tool to control the masses. Something he says is still going on today. Okay. He said, I present my work with some ambivalence, as I do not want to directly cause Christians any harm. But he said, it's important for our culture, he said. It's important for our culture, he said. Of the alleged debunk, one that he believes will eventually be universally accepted. Now, I'm going to tell you my sentiments. I will repeat them again. I believe without question. In fact, I know without question. Having some things revealed to me directly in the spirit, things that I had shown to me that, quite frankly, with regard to things that occurred 2,000 years ago, things I didn't know about at all, having never read them. But my brothers and sisters, there are things the Most High has shown me because, quite frankly, I'm going to tell you this. Scripture says the Holy Spirit seeks to teach all things, and no lie in it. to bring all things to remembrance. One of the things I've been seeing oftentimes in this show that I know without question that the Most High, that his people throughout the ages be one, gives his spirit so that it might be fully made true what is written when it says he will restore the hearts of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to the fathers. Meaning that all throughout the ages must be on the same page. Messiah will judge all nations. In fact, all ages, after one standard in one time of judgment. It won't be a matter of people saying that, hey, this is 2013 and that the standard is different today than it was, hey, in the days of Messiah, his apostles, or the days of the prophets. Brothers and sisters, the eventuality that the Most High had planned for this world was declared from the very beginning. And blessed are they who understand what the scriptures mean when said in the beginning was the Word, and that Word is life. Think about it, my brothers and sisters. What I'm saying to you is, no, I do not believe that the Messiah who came 2,000 years ago is a fabrication. I understand well. I pray that others will seek it also. The prophecies of Daniel 9 that speak of a Messiah being cut off and not long thereafter. Romans coming in to destroy Jerusalem. Exactly what Messiah Yeshua prophesied. Exactly what did occur. Or dare men say that Messiah will have to come again for or will have to, still hasn't come, so that a Messiah will have to be crucified again before judgment can occur. Rome will have to come in and destroy. Rome would have to come in and destroy Jerusalem again. How many times do you have to scatter the people of Israel before you bring them back home? Come on, my people, let's think about this for a minute. Isaiah 53 also speaks about a Messiah will be slain by the lawless rulers among his people at Isaiah 53. But it says, by his discretion shall he justify many. I've talked oftentimes on this show with regard to Isaiah 11th chapter. It says the Messiah must come a second time to regather Israel that has been scattered. I just simply ask people this question. When did an anointed one regather Israel from the midst of all nations before? When, my brothers and sisters, did an anointed one regather Israel before? And has Israel been brought back that second time? Isaiah 11 speaks of a prophecy that is related in 2 Thessalonians that should be the expectation of all who believe. The Messiah must come to expose all unrighteousness, all fallen standards. The word there they use is wicked, but it means lawlessness. And all those who are lawless rather than seeking to be lawful. The scripture says, in so doing, after a pure and perfect standard, unto him shall all the nations seek, and his rest, his peace, shall be glorious. Shall be, after an invariant, pure and perfect word, my brothers and sisters, peace, because there is a drive for the full word of the Most High. Even as Abraham was told to walk after the Most High and seek his perfect will, and it would be a blessing to the nations. He did not say, after a multitude of partialities, that this blessedness would come. Scriptures in Galatians speak about this, very important to understand. Scriptures speak about this in Jacob. They call it James. They talk about if you scattered among the Gentiles, a multitude of nations having a multitude of different ideals. He said, know that you must still realize that the faith, your faith in him must still bring forth a perfect work. Not double-minded, not partial after the diverse standards of the nations, but seeking the fullness that the Most High intends. And it did not say that anything less, I repeat, it did not say that anything less would be worthy unto the Most High. In fact, it said, let not the double-minded man think he shall partake in anything or receive anything from Yah, certainly not partake of the promise. The promise, my brothers and sisters, is not after a multitude of unconverted ideals among the nations. The promise, my brothers and sisters, is after faith in the will of one. So let us consider what this Mr. Atwell is saying. He says that he believes that Christianity was concocted as a government project used to control Roman citizens during a time when Jewish residents were waiting for their Messiah. He says they were a constant source of insurrection. Did you hear me? Jewish residents were waiting for Messiah and were a constant source of, they call it, insurrection. How about insurrection against who? Rome? And Rome didn't like it, leading even Romans to seek out an equalizing, or sin caused the Romans to seek out, if you will, they said, an equalizing and tempering force. In other words, let me tell you something. There's an ancient concept that was common to polytheist Greco-Roman mind. And they said, how do you fight an idea but with another idea? It says here, he says, his words, that when Romans had exhausted conventional means of squashing rebellion, they switched to psychological warfare. They surmised that the way to stop the spread of a zealous Jewish missionary activity was to create a competing belief system. And he said that's when this, let's just say, the Western concept of Jesus, he doesn't have that down here, but hey, Western concept of Messiah was allegedly created. A man who advocated peace rather than violence. Well, let's consider what the Hebrew mind called peace. It didn't call it a multitude of perversitudes. And I say to you now, woe to any society of any form whose concept of love and peace, when compared to righteousness, is a mutually exclusive idea. I say it again. Anyone whose concept of peace as compared to the concept of righteousness is a mutually exclusive idea is a woe-begotten society. Any society that whose concept of righteousness and concept of love are mutually exclusive. In other words, don't coexist. It's a woe-begotten society. But they said this was some man who advocated peace. Let me tell you something. Romans had something they called Pax Romana. And Pax Romana, to the Romans, was not a matter of seeking the pure, perfect will of one. It was just simply saying that Rome and all its differences and the multitude of its various gods, saying that men should have peace regardless of what god or what concept of deity they worshipped. In other words, if Rome sanctioned a multitude of pluralisms, they said all should live in peace, worshipping however they will. This was the concept that Rome had to call Pax Romana, by no means true to the gospel declaring the will of one. For Rome sought to simply preserve the worship of all their diverse gods who they claimed their rulers were endorsed by. Think about it, my brothers and sisters. But like I said, this man, Mr. Atwell, says Yeshua, or he says Jesus, was allegedly created, a man who advocated peace rather than violence. Atwell contends that this Christ that billions embrace never actually existed and that he's a fictional character. Not my statement at all. What I would tell you, my brothers and sisters, is that I believe the prophecies in Daniel 9 concerning a Messiah who would be cut off before Rome comes in to destroy Jerusalem fits everything Messiah said. He said, you'd be hated by all nations for the sake of my name, for the sake of my gospel. Meaning that when the word, pure monotheist word, went forth as a fever from Jerusalem, countermanding polytheist Roman rule, Rome came in and destroyed Jerusalem and not only sought to destroy Jerusalem, my brother and sister, but sought to destroy the faith of Messiah himself. I want you to hear me, my brothers and sisters. I want you to understand what I'm saying to you. What I'm telling you is that where Rome sought to create the concept of a savior to preserve the polytheisms of Rome, by no means was that the concept of Messiah that existed. I pray you will understand me. By no means was that the concept of Messiah that existed and pre-existed Roman intrusion and interference. I pray you will understand me for all that I'm saying here. By no means does the concept of a Messiah that sanctions all the diversities of the nations fit in any way with anything said by any of the apostles. The apostle Shaul, they call Paul, for instance, said that the promise was not to see the multitude of different doctrines. The word for seed in Hebrew, by the way, means teachings. It relates who is, if you will, your teacher or spiritual father. In Galatians 3:16, he says, and now to Abraham and his seed was the promise made. He said, not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, and I hope you will understand me when I say this, they did not call him a Christ, but he was known as the righteous, the anointed one, the Kurdi. Kur, son, tis, rise. You need to understand, my brothers and sisters, what is related. They say Kur, T, sunrise. Read in one of the texts that comes from the Dead Sea Scrolls, and you'll see the term sunrise and understand what it means. Like Yeshua was not a Greek Christ. In fact, Christ. In Rome, many times they considered those who believe that the Creator is one and sent one to reconcile mankind, they called them Cretans. Look it up for yourself in any good dictionary. My brothers and sisters, even if you check out my website, hiddengospel.com, there's an article called Early Church Origin. And the term Christ was a total perversion, my brothers and sisters, after a polytheist concept of deity rather than a singular. But that too, my brothers and sisters, is something you need to look up at hiddengospel.com, article called Early Church Origin, to understand the origin of the term. Because by no means does it fit with what the Most High declared a righteous one, a Savior, comes to do. Now think about this, my brothers and sisters. You said the promise is not according to then a multitude of diverse doctrines. The promise of Yah is not to uphold a multitude of contradicting ideals of men. How could there be a promise to defy a promise? Whenever men uphold a multitude of differing doctrines, it is the breaking of a contract. It is the breaking of a covenant. My brothers and sisters, the promise becomes in no effect if all of a sudden everybody who signs his name to it can change some part of it. Because believe me, what men have done, even with regard to the scriptures, is in so many ways men either not discerning so much scripture or refusing to accept the fullness of all its meaning. Everybody wants to set up their own contract, come to their own ideas. Think about it. In Malachi, it says you wearied or dishonored the name of the Most High. When you say that everyone who does after his own evil, deviations, contentiousnesses, you say that they're good in the sight of the Most High, that he delights in such, as if there is no judge who will ever judge according to righteous or perfect justice, perfect judgment. Well, think about it, what this is saying, my brothers and sisters. When men say that Messiah will never come to judge after the perfect will of Yah, what they are saying, my brothers and sisters, that they may worship or give themselves license to worship every manner of deviation. And my brothers and sisters, every manner of deviation is not the Savior. What I'm telling you then, my brothers and sisters, since the scriptures tell us that Messiah will come according to Malachi, and he will reprove all the priests for all their abundance of different doctrines, hiding their iniquity or disguising their iniquitous offices and intents in so-called priestly roles. Read Malachi 2:16. The Most High says he's going to expose all those who are partial in his law. He's going to expose all those who breaking his covenant cause brother to contend against brother. He said he's going to utterly destroy out of the temple those who cause men to worship after foreign gods, foreign ideals, foreign standards that he did not declare. For how else shall the people discern what is absolution in the name of the Most High after a multitude of differences? It simply is not possible. The truth, my brothers and sisters, is not divided. The righteousness of the Most High, as I said on last evening, is not divided. Messiah, in terms of what is his standard, is not divided, nor is he destabilized in any way after the multitude of misconceits that seem wise to men. Therefore, we have to understand something, my brothers and sisters, that if men manufacture a concept of a Savior that can never fully heal or make one or make whole or make pure the conscience of men, then men have only walked in their vanities after what could never deliver. And regretfully, my brothers and sisters, because we look at the world today, see some 45,000 denominations claim it to be the faith of one. 45,000 differences claim it to be the will of one. Across 280 some odd nations, my brothers and sisters, whoever can believe that all these differences are the faith of one, I said whoever can believe that all these differences are the faith of one is grossly deceived, my brothers and sisters, and a co-partaker in the kind of spiritual depravity that the scriptures in the book of Malachi speak vehemently against. Those who say you've dishonored the name of the Most High with your words, with your doctrines, your diverse doctrines, your contentious ideals. When you say, after all these different, you don't even discern where, or men have not discerned where they have dishonored him. You say, when you say that he that is one, when you say that he delights that in everyone who walks after contentious deviations, which he calls evil, deviation, devilish, when you say that is good in the sight of the Most High, dishonoring the holy name, my brothers and sisters, to honor what? A demon? When you say such as these are good in the sight of the Most High and say he delights in such, or you say, where is the Holy One who will judge after righteous judgment? What are you saying, that he would judge after unrighteousness? That's not the prophecy concerning Messiah at Isaiah, my brothers and sisters, 40:27 through 41:4, to bring an end to the warfare of the nations. In fact, the scripture says that he comes that the strength, the discretion of the people be renewed. Think about it. It is weariness, weakness, depravity. Then whenever men believe that a multitude of diverse standards are the love and will of one. Hear me, my brothers and sisters. Pagans had a very different concept of love as compared to those who are monotheists. Hebrew word for love, Abba, And there's the love of one Father. Pagan word, Greek word for love, agape. And agape was love for everything else but one absolute. Agape, my brothers and sisters, is a word that is a love for a multitude of deviations. And in fact, agape had to do with one opening his heart to all manner of deviations. And my brother and sister, Messiah said, if you love me, he said, you would keep, preserve, maintain his commandments. And he would reveal himself. In other words, we're talking about much more, my brothers and sisters, than words written on paper. He said, if you love me, keep his commandments. What he reveals by his spirit. I said, what he reveals by his spirit, you must keep. And if you walk after what he reveals, he said he would teach even more to you. But my brothers and sisters, keeping the commands of the Most High is not a matter of being twisted and turned by every diverse standard that men might win, the false doctrine that men might contrive. I want you to understand what the scriptures have to say about this. Messiah said to many who called themselves the children of Abraham, he said, if Abraham were your father, or if you were Abraham's children, he said, you'd be doing the works of Abraham. You talk about Yohanan, John 8:39. What did the Most High say to Abraham? Walk after me, seek his perfect will, complete will. And he said, I'll make you a father to many peoples. I will cause many nations to be at peace, all nations blessed. But he did not say after everyone walking after his partialities, every man walking after the vanities of their own mind. What do you call the vanities of their own mind? Their own imaginations, not disciplined after the Spirit of the Most High, the Spirit that teaches all things, no lie in it. Seeking to bring all things the Most High said to remembrance, that after a pure and perfect word, men might be one. Because it is after a multitude of pluralities, wrought of a multitude of imperfections, partialities, that so many contentions among men exist. Can men walk together, my brothers and sisters, true to Yah, every man after his own ideas and without true instruction? Can you complete a task when there's always some part missing or some part mangled outside of capacity to perform its purpose? My brothers and sisters, all things must work together after divine design for the plan and for the blessing the Most High intends on this earth to come to bear. So, I would say to you, my brothers and sisters, whoever does not seek the perfect will of Yah is a co-participant in the spiritual depravity that has deceived all nations. What does Scripture say in Isaiah? It says the Messiah will come forth saying, keep silence before me, O ye isles, let my people renew their strength. Telling the diversitudes of rulerships among the nations to be silenced before him, that people might no longer be beguiled by misrepresentation. Said they will wait for the Most High, even him who he sends, shall renew their strength. One whom he says he will subdue all nations before him. Who did it? It was he who declared the end from the beginning, the first and the last. You need to read all those scriptures, my brothers and sisters, Isaiah 40:27-41:4. And believe me, my brothers and sisters, when the scripture talks about this right, who has stirred up this righteous one like the rising sun, like the righteous one from the east, they said. This means the righteous one from and like, same word, righteous one like the rising sun. Casting out all the darkness, revealing the light the world would obscure. Like the morning sun, morning star. Think about it, my brothers and sisters, and understand who the scriptures say Messiah is. And it did not say that he would bring peace to this world by allowing every manner of perversion after the various rulers and kings to persist. There's much to be understood concerning this, a very powerful principle to be concerning this. And quite frankly, whoever does not seek the perfect will of Yah, my brothers and sisters, is not a true son of Abraham. Whoever does not seek the perfect will of Yah is a co-participant in the spiritual depravity, the sin that is deceived and left all nations in their divisions, self-righteous presumptuousness, i.e. vanity imaginations. Not saved, not whole, but in so many ways, my brothers and sisters, men subject to partiality are only damnations rather than salvation. The very word damn means divided, separated. And my believer, my brothers and sisters, that the earth ultimately belongs to Yah, the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Meaning that the divisions we see in the world today should never have come to exist. He said, oh, that you kept my commandments, then your peace would have been as a river, and your righteousness the waves of the sea. The nations would never have been divided. And the scripture says, Isaiah 48, it's because men have sworn by the holy name, but not in truth nor in righteousness, and all these divisions exist, that this Babylon, this multitude of nations contentious against one another, must come to an end, that this world finally praises, true to the will of Yah, the Holy One. Therefore, let us consider. It says, whoever does not seek the perfect will of Yah, co-participant then, my brothers and sisters, in this spiritual weariness, this depravity that is deceived and damned and kept divided the nation. True worship of the anointed Savior is by the Holy Spirit, which honors Yah, seeking the one remembrance of all things Yah has decreed, preparing, if you will, the people for the times of refreshing, whereby it said Messiah will come to bring about a remembrance, a restoration, a refreshing of all things spoken by all the holy prophets since world began. Read Acts 3:18 through 23 and understand. In the book of Ephesians, it talks about, many of you are aware, we talk about these scriptures often. It says, quite frankly, if there's one Most High, one faith, everything else is the contentions of man. Faith, my brothers and sisters, is a gift from the Most High. Faith has to be unto the one who is the Most High, else is not the salvation or the deliverance or the raising of the conscience of any man. He says, one master, one faith, one baptism, one purging of all worldly misconceit and uncleanness. That's in Ephesians 4. Ephesians, if you look around, 3:14? He says, we must all comprehend with the saints as those who, how about this, my brothers and sisters, seek to be one with the holy ones. We all must comprehend as one to the height, depth, and breadth. Hear me, my brothers and sisters. And it goes on further, around 4:12. It says we must all comprehend this to the full measure and stature. That's perfect will. Full measure and stature, the full perfect will of Messiah himself. My brothers and sisters, Messiah does not come to take away from the knowledge of divine will. In fact, scripture said when the knowledge of Yah covers the earth as the waters cover the sea, there will be peace. The one who comes to bring peace, my brothers and sisters, must come to prove foolish, fallen, whatever standards this world has obliged that are not true to the fullness of divine will. In Ephesians 4:17, it says, this I say therefore and testify in Yah, that ye henceforth not walk as other Gentiles walk. The very concept of Gentiles in the Hebrew mind, the Hebrew word goyim, and you can look it up for yourself. Look, type in the word Gentiles sometimes in a, or look up a word Gentiles in a good Strong's Concordance. And it often relates, my brothers and sisters, a multitude of nations that will not reason as one. Oh, but it does use the word more particular than just nations. It's a multitude of beasts animals men function after a lesser conscience, because they will not reason as men, will not reason as one. My brothers and sisters, the mark of the beasts is the standard of a multitude of nations who will not reason, will not receive the will of one. And for this reason, Messiah said to himself in the 14th chapter of Yohanan, the spirit of truth, the worldly, the world, those who love all the diversities of nations, he said the truth, the one truth, the spirit, the testimony of that one truth, they would not receive. Well, my brothers and sisters, say, be not like other Gentiles. Be not like other Gentiles, walk in the vanity of their mind. Must be something about Gentile conceits, my brothers and sisters, that he, well, like I said in Romans 11:25-27, he told Gentiles not to be wise in their own conceits. Must be something that to receive on high, my brothers and sisters, to be disciplined. The question to ask is, have men truly accepted that discipline? He said, this I testify, therefore, in Yeshua, in Yah, Ephesians 4:17, just find Yah, that ye henceforth not walk as other Gentiles walk in the vanities of their minds. In other words, their own reprobate, undisciplined thoughts. This is not what you've learned, if you truly learn. Let me put it this way, my brothers and sisters, the Kurdi, the one who will judge men after righteous judgments. Because when you read Isaiah 40:27-41:4, it says, they who wait for the Most High shall renew their strength, even him who he sends. It says, the Lord whom ye seek, the Lord for whom you are waiting, shall suddenly come to his temple. And those who know the scriptures know that Isaiah 66, particularly around the sixth verse, relates that the Most High is going to send Messiah to reprove all the wickednesses among the churches. Did you hear me? And at the rebuke of a city that would not listen in its destruction, those who are true to Israel, true to the understanding of the prophecies, will come swiftly and be as if Israel, true Israel, was born, or as a nation, as if it were in one day. Well, my question to ask then, my brothers and sisters, are they Israel who know not and will not accept that prophecy? There's an article on my website called Secret City Prophecies you really need to examine. Because the scriptures I speak of with regard to that city and its confusion that the Messiah comes to reprove, to tell the whole world this confusion of intermingled ideas is inviolable. Actually, my brothers and sisters, those prophecies go back to Genesis 14. They go to Numbers 24. Particularly, I will even tell you the 14th through 17th through 19th verses. They are Isaiah 15 through 16. They are Jeremiah 48 through 51. They are prophecies, my brothers and sisters, at Isaiah 19, 18 through 25. Isaiah 24, 6 through 10. Again, 25, 1 through 3 through 10. Again, at 27, 9 through 12. Again, my brothers and sisters, over and over again, we keep seeing these same prophecies talking about a city the Messiah is in the midst of reproving, but men who are lawless or know nothing of the prophecy will know no shame. In other words, they will not respect his words. Zephaniah 3rd chapter speaks the same. Hosea in the 11th chapter speaks the same. Those who understand that Amos 3rd chapter is the scripture upon which Revelation 10th chapter is based will also understand. As much as I need to also relate, perhaps if not tonight, I need to explain to you what truly is the meaning of Revelation 11th chapter with regard to two witnesses. No, they are not Elijah and Moses. I would just simply say to you for right now, the two witnesses that we speak of are actually the former and latter testimony. Witness is a testimony, a covenant. A lot to talk about, but need to go back to Zechariah 4 and 5 to understand fully what it's talking about when it's talking about the two golden candlesticks, two olive branches. Much to talk about that. Yes, there is. I just tell you, 3.5 days, the scripture says that this Babylonic system will have men in bondage for times and half a time. 3.5 times? Periods? Lots to talk about, yes indeed, to set this in order. But again, my brothers and sisters, I would have you to understand something. Anytime men believe that the Savior compromises his will after the diverse designs of many, it is not the true Messiah that men have trusted. It's the fabrication of Rome that could never deliver men from Babylon, because it is Babylon. It is a champion of worldly misconceits. And that anomaly, my brothers and sisters, that contrivance, that pretense, is what the scripture says in 2 Thessalonians, Messiah would come to expose. He said he would come to expose the intrusions of the powers of perdition, whereby the wicked sit right there in the temples among the churches. Yes, indeed. The lawless sit there among the churches, even presiding among the churches, that men no longer discern iniquity because their rulers are iniquity, corruption, pollutions after the misconceits of men. Said Messiah will have to come himself because men have come to prefer unrighteousness less than the perfect will of Yah. Ultimately, my brothers and sisters, means he will expose the pretense that men have called the faith, having long fallen away from the faith in Yah when they began to trust in men. For this reason, it is written in Psalms 118, it's better to trust in Yah than to trust in princes, better to trust in Yah than to trust in men. Because the stone which men, if you will, the cornerstone, the sure foundation, which men, the builders of the temples, the builders of the buildings, the cornerstone, the firm word, the sound doctrine. How about this way, my brothers and sisters? Scripture says, all scripture inspired by the Holy Spirit is worthy for reproof and doctrine, but many will not, in the latter days come to find, men will not prefer sound doctrine. It means they don't want the whole word. Well, the cornerstone, the perfect word, which the builders of these temples, churches, have rejected, will become the chief stone of the corner in a day when true worship unto Yah is revived. And Isaiah 27 tells us that this true worship will be revived when the churches that have upheld the altars which have upheld false, insufficient, corrupted offerings, have tainted after the ideals of men, when they are broken down like chalk stones, then will there be at last an atonement. But there's some very powerful concepts with regard to this, my brothers and sisters, that must be understood. Indeed, my brothers and sisters, let us know that the righteousness of Yah, the perfect will of Yah, is not divided, or else it wouldn't be his perfect will. Think about this. Isaiah 49 compared to Isaiah 42, which says, they'll be greatly ashamed of trusting in graven image. How about the machinations of their own heart? Greatly ashamed of trusting their own imaginings. How about something that men created and called deity? They'd be greatly ashamed to trust in and such. Remember I told you, Messiah does not compromise his will after the will of many. He said, the double-minded man does not think he receive anything from Yah. If Messiah were double-minded, how could he be or declare what indeed is the gospel promise? The scripture said, you scattered among a multitude of Gentile nations. In the book of James, they called it Jacob, they called it James. So if you scattered among a multitude of nations, double-minded, you lack wisdom. You lack spiritual strength. You're walking after then spiritual wickedness. This is not wisdom. And you need to ask Yah for what is. Hear me. I think about some scriptures like Isaiah 49, where it speaks of the Messiah himself awakening at the call of the Most High, realizing that at one time he had walked according to the vanities of men, but at the call of Yah, the one time he had not known, I know it's going to sound hard. It sounds really wild to a lot of people. One time he had not known. Yeah, Most High called him to walk beyond the vanities of man. You think I'm kidding about that scripture, which sounds amazing to some. Read Isaiah 44:20-45:6 and understand who he calls his anointed and realize what the scripture says concerning him in Isaiah 49. You see, he realized he walked according to the vanities of Yah, but at the call of Yah, now Yah has become his strength. He learned to discern the perfect will of Yah, that he might bring Israel back from all the diversities of the nations, back to the will of one. Hear me, my brothers and sisters, the Most High does nothing without reason. Shall men dare say that the physical presence of Messiah on earth is not an absolute necessity in the day when the Most High brings forth his wrath? Dare men say the physical presence of Messiah is not necessary unto the atonement of mankind? Isaiah 5:49 says Messiah will come saying, "Listen to me, O isles, and hearken to me, O you nations. From the body of my mother, as someone born, has he made mention of my name." He said, "He made my mouth like a sharp sword, in the shadow of his hand as he hid me, made me a chosen," word that actually means bowman. He said to him, "You are my servant, even the servant of Israel." And you look at the Masoretic text at Isaiah 45. Say, "You my servant, even the servant of Israel, in whom he shall be glorified, or who shall reveal his glory." How about his perfect word? "And in him shall Israel yet be gathered, even to be a salvation to the ends of the world." Think about it, my brothers and sisters. Man has all kind of diverse ideas and imaginings as to what is the will of the Messiah. And while the cat's away, believe me, the lion's been away. A bunch of meese and dirty rats have played. You need to think about it. There can be no atonement for mankind according to the status quo, according to the imaginations of a multitude, who apparently in their consensus, accepting a multitude of differences, didn't know Yah in the first place. No atonement for mankind according to a status quo after a multitude of contentious rulers who themselves cannot agree. That can only be a compromise against the covenant, and it is not a covenant. You pervert, pollute a holy word. It's not holy, nor is it a covenant. Certainly not with Yah. Yah does not change. His will does not change. It's not distorted or destabilized by any of the conceits of man. Atonement cannot be found according to men's multitude of different ideals, i.e. partial perceptions. Scripture calls them vanity because they don't accomplish divine purpose. The wrath of Yah is upon a world, my brothers and sisters. It's soon to be manifest and revealed upon a world that is trusted indeed in vanities. And the false concept of a Savior that can never make any man whole. False concept of a Savior that can never bring forth agreement among the people. Think about it. Scripture says if you belong to the Messiah, actually the Kurdi, the righteous one, seeking righteousness, even as Abraham believed Yah, and it was accounted him for righteousness. Abraham sought the perfect will of Yah, and it was accounted him for righteousness. The perfect will is righteousness. That means you have a love for all the Most High has, is, and will say. He said, if you belong to then the one that was called the Kurdi, I did not say he was a Greek Christ. The Kurdi, the righteous one, the one who emanates the light, the glory of Yah. All eyes shall see the glory of Yah. Mouth of the Most High has spoken, the perfect light, like the sunrise to cast out all the darkness. Like I told you, the word Kur means sun, T means rise. Messiah is called by that title in the, like I said, the text from the Dead Sea Scrolls, like NESB, NIV, RSV, at Luke 178. And you think about it, what that means according to Isaiah 40:27-41:4. The wrath of Yah is upon a world that is trusted in vanities, my brothers and sisters, and called it salvation. And the false concept of a Savior that can never make any man whole. The word Savior, salvation, means to be made whole, to be healed. I didn't necessarily say afflicted and divided by a multitude of men's lies, deceptions, causing men not to be able to perceive. That is to be deceived, not perceiving. Time to understand. Man, my brothers and sisters, about to face the wrath of the Most High, because men, in the multitude of their contentions, most of their diverse ideals, have not been willing to recognize that they worship a false concept of deity. Trusting a false savior, deviations created by men, compromises against the holy covenant command. Shall continue trust in one's imaginations. Everybody according to his own desires, should that be salvation? That's not agreement with Yah, nor does it fully honor his will. Messiah, my brothers and sisters, according to Isaiah 49, must be present on earth to declare the truth that is beyond the vanity, to declare the gospel, to declare the word, my brothers and sisters, that proves foolish all the misconceits of man. That is what's written in Isaiah 44:20, through 45:6, is what is related, my brothers and sisters. When the scripture says Isaiah 29, it comes to prove foolish the wisdom of the wise. Because men will find out the doctrine they believed. Be like a hungry man who dreams that he is eating, dreams that he is drinking. When he wakes, he finds he's hungry and famished, because he stood against what Yah has promised Israel. Isaiah 28 said it'd be a terror, vexation for many to understand the report. For the cloth is too short, the warp is weak, insufficient for a man to wrap himself up in, insufficient for a garment. Means the doctrines they have veiled, my brothers and sisters, are full of holes. Messiah must be present on earth, my brothers and sisters, in a time of wrath, to declare beyond worldly vanities. The whole holy covenant must be revealed that men have hope. Have a hope where we have lived in a world where none of the rulers have taught all that is true. When my Messiah was not present, as I said, my brothers and sisters, men have trusted in pretense, even in their imaginations, where the saving gospel of truth was not known. Men have said, well, nobody knows, hey, everything goes. No, my brothers and sisters, that's a total illusion. There's much to be said about this. Think about it, my brothers and sisters. When wrath comes, and the scripture says in Isaiah 59, it comes because the Most High looked upon men, saw men only lying and transgressing against the Most High, and saw no intercessor. You better believe this, my brothers and sisters, that if there is no intercessor and the Most High is displeased, if there's none who can petition or reveal to mankind the whole word, the whole armor of Yah, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the sword of spirit, which is the whole word of Yah, if there's no one that can declare to mankind what again should be his remembrance of what is the true word of Yah. At a time of great wrath, my brothers and sisters, there is no atonement. Understand the meaning of the scripture when it says, Yah so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believed in him might not perish. In a day of great wrath, my brothers and sisters, if there is no one who is called sufficient before the Most High as an intercessor, kind of a blessed thing that the scriptures speak of Messiah in Isaiah 50, saying these words, morning by morning, as the Most High caused my ears to hear the teaching, and I've not turned back the rebellious way, that I should know how to declare a word to the weary. How about those whose spiritual discretion has been weakened, far fallen from faith, because men have believed themselves wise, only knowing what men have said. My brothers and sisters, if you only know what men have said, the scripture says, count yourself a fool that you might become wise. Read 3:18, 1 Corinthians, and understand what I'm saying. See, if you consider yourself wise in this world, consider yourself a fool, that you may become wise. My brothers and sisters, men have all kind of different things to say and to believe every kind of contentious thing men have said, and to try to gather the truth from the midst of so many lies and homogenize misconceits. None of it standing pure upon the perfect foundation. My brothers and sisters, to believe such things is only to be deceived. Because the truth of the matter is, wherever men have looked for a Messiah, a Savior, not to declare the whole truth, and one who would come, they believe would compromise after diverse standards of men. You know, it's amazing how depraved men have taken license to become. And the scripture says in the book of Yehuda, they called Jude, that he would come to have to convince men against all these ungodly words, tainted, polluted words, harsh, ungodly, how about deviant, devilish words. that men have spoken, right there in the midst of the churches. I have to ask, why are the secret city prophecies not spoken? The prophecies I spoke to you, look at my website, hiddengospel.com, article called Secret City Prophecies. Why are the leaders not speaking these things? Because scriptures say that that city has exalted all the diverse standards, ultimately all the diverse standards of men, and Messiah will rebuke all these fallen standards from that place, that finally might be declared Yerushalayim, Jerusalem, a city of peace. But the city of peace, my brothers and sisters, is unto those whom Yah has called, and those whom Yah has called know that he doesn't compromise his word. That means there will be no residency in the city of peace for those who seek a partial standard, because the very word for peace, shalom, in Hebrew, relates a seeking of what is pure and perfect. Yerushalayim, city of peace, foundation upon which peace is established, sending forth a law, a pure and perfect law to all nations. But brothers and sisters, that is not after a partial word. But why have men not spoken about these prophecies? Could it be that because rulers haven't wanted people to know that their collective compromise, going to seminary school, that give them a doctor of divinity degree they can take to any denomination they want to, has not been unto absolution, but has been a massive deception? I can only say this, my brothers and sisters, when the secret city prophecy is no more a secret, and that day when what the Most High has prophesied concerning that city has come to bear, and that day when Yah has declared all nations, what they have learned, or men finally realize that what they have learned from their diverse rulers was faithlessly in their partial, multitude of partialities, not enough to be confirmed or true to the one, nor worthy of his holy name. Then in great distress, my brothers and sisters, and that's what's written in Luke 21, to be great distress among the nations. Why? To find out they didn't know the gospel. They didn't know the word necessary for unto atonement. Then shall men comprehend what it says in Job 2:32, when it says, only those, if you will, who call upon the name of the Lord in truth and righteousness, those whom the Most High has called, will have opportunity unto atonement. And in Jerusalem shall be delivered to a remnant whom the Most High has called. Why a remnant? True Israel, my brothers and sisters, having opportunity to seek to find the blessing, the perfect word of Yah. Hey, do not deny the opportunity. And they seek that fullness, that indeed, in fullness, purity, and completion, there might be oneness. And yet many of my brothers and sisters have preferred unrighteousness, just as 2 Thessalonians said. Unrighteousness is not the Messiah. Unrighteousness is not the Savior. Unrighteousness is not salvation. Unrighteousness seeking partialities in the word, my brothers and sisters, only contentions and self-righteous arrogance and ignorance. Selfish ambitions, my brothers and sisters, do not declare one authority. Yet they were preferred unrighteousness who have continued to worship false prophets. What do you say about false prophets? They cry out, Lord, Lord, but not to perform fully the will of the Father. That word do means perform fully. That's the foundation. The sound doctrine. My brothers and sisters, a word that recognizes that every word the Most High says reinforces all else that he has said. You can't build a thing unto its fruitive purpose with pieces missing or out of place. Think about it, my brothers and sisters. If they have preferred unrighteous and continue to worship after false prophets and worship a false religion, as if the Most High does not demand that men walk according to the fullness of his word. Messiah said, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. He said, if you walk after anyone who denies or dishonors any part of the law of the prophets, he said, you shall in no case enter the kingdom of Yah, Matthew 5:14-24. He says Messiah comes, my brothers and sisters, at Acts 3:18-23, to remind, also to judge mankind, according to all things the Most High spoke by his prophets since the world began, whoever will not hearken to him and that inspired word of his, he said, will be cut off from among the people. Cut off from the promise. The promise is not unto a multitude of differences, my brothers and sisters. Once the covenant has been confirmed, no man can change anything in it. Consider, my brothers and sisters. They have walked after, therefore, false religion. Messiah never said once that men walking after a multitude of compromise, that he gave his life that men should believe lies, and believe me, half-truths, partial perceptions that lead men astray are lies. They mislead. If the gospel, the pure, perfect word from above, is hid, men are misled. Time to understand. False religion, my brothers, has been taught to a people who trusted all things are good after a multitude of robberies. Read Malachi 2:17-3:9. The Most High calls it robbery when you don't teach all his word. And my brothers and sisters, the scripture said those who do this will not be exalted. In fact, the scripture said they'd be greatly ashamed. When also discern that the righteousness they must attain has not been taught by treacherous false prophet rulers, read Isaiah 24, particularly 10-16 verses, and understand what I'm saying. It said when people realize that they weren't taught all the things they should have been taught, and they realize that leaders had dealt with them very treacherously, then shall the world be humbled that it be willing to submit to revere the promise, the hope of the one that is called the Kurdee, that the Most High grants the knowledge of the covenant, that those who believe in him might in fact have an opportunity unto atonement, have an opportunity to escape the wrath of Yah, have an opportunity, my brothers and sisters, to be saved, delivered from all miscreant false voices, that their faith in Yah might be made true. For it is in that Yah in his love will invoke his wrath at a time when he has given in the earth a chosen one, and whose soul is embedded the wisdom of the covenant. It is through him that a world is granted opportunity unto divine restoration. Understand really then, my brothers and sisters, what is the real meaning of that scripture. It says, Yah so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him might not perish. Read your scriptures closely in Isaiah 59. Read Isaiah 40, chapter 41st, 42nd, 43rd. And he talks about it at a time when the Most High begins to expose the wicked, the false rulers of the earth. He says men are going to find out that they really need that because there was none. There were none who preached truth of the gospel. Everyone was concerned after their self-rule. Self-rule among the nations. So he says, behold, my servant, my elect, and my soul delights. I put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth what is truly justice. How about the true gospel? The word from on high, untainted after the misconceits of man, to the nations. And again, it says, those who trust in graven images are their own imaginings shall be greatly ashamed, the constructs of their own hearts. How about the false concept of Messiah that has been taught in this world? Said they'd be greatly ashamed. He said, the isle shall wait for his law. I did not say lawlessness. For it is Yah in his love, my brothers and sisters, will invoke his wrath, but at a time when he has given in the earth one who is awakened to righteousness. It is through him the world be granted opportunity unto an atonement, an opportunity unto divine restoration. For on the day of his wrath, when there was none to intercede or to pray for the fullness of Yah, and the fullness of Yah's will, none who sought the full honoring, or let's just say the honor that is due, the word, the law of the Most High, and that the Most High would offer one, that if men believe in him, they have an opportunity unto life, is a great blessing. Because outside of that pure word, the world would have no hope. Why is the wrath of Yah being bestowed? Men, just like it was in the days of Noah, Lot and Noah, what did he say in Noah's time? Man's thoughts become evil, contentious. Men unwilling to resolve their self-righteous issues. And it brought the flood. My brothers and sisters, the same type of hardness of heart that brought the flood is about to bring, my brothers and sisters, the wrath of Yah upon humanity and all those who will not hear. You need to understand that. Which shall be in that day that even nature itself shall bear wrath upon mankind for all that man has done to destroy the foreordained balance of things. The Earth was created, my brothers and sisters, that man emanate the thoughts of the Most High. But my brothers and sisters, the corrupt thoughts of man have been a destabilizing influence against even the forces of life. In that day, my brothers and sisters, nature itself rebukes mankind for having been an obstacle against creation and all things working together for good, according to what was granted the Most High, according to what the Most High has commanded must be. In that day, my brothers and sisters, it is only by trust in the word of the one whom the Most High has already declared. Read Isaiah 49-50. It is only by trust in him, transcending the abuses of man, that anyone shall have opportunity to prove to the Most High that he desires to be true to his name. So warn to a people whose concept of love and righteousness, my brothers and sisters, are mutual.
19.
Because understand, agape after a lust for all the diverse standards of men cannot be the love of Yah as one. Because so many, my brothers and sisters, could only believe false religion. Well, you say the spirit of truth, the world they will not receive. How about the will of one? The absolution that Yah is, that he is one, is something the worldly could not accept. And often not knowing what that righteousness, that oneness is, their own righteousness, have walked against the hope of salvation and not submitted to the righteousness of Yah. I talked about this. Go back and look through the archives. I've talked much about Romans 10. And it spoke about all these things. For faith in Yah, since men won't declare a pure and perfect word, has to come from Yah. Messiah sends his Messiah, that those who have not discerned beyond all the perversities of man might discern what is indeed the absolute. Count it a blessing that in the day of wrath, the Most High sends opportunity to see the reality. Greco-Roman Christianity, my brothers and sisters, is not Kurdishanya, what the early church called their faith, the faith of light, the king of the east. Read Revelation 16:12-21 and understand. Overcome the depravity, my brothers and sisters. To his praise always, hallelujah! And I thank the Most High for every ear that he brings near.
You got the word to change a nation, but you're biting your tongue. You spent a lifetime stuck in silence, afraid you'll say something wrong. If no one ever hears it, how we gonna learn your song? So come on, come on, come on, come on. You got a heart as loud as lions, so why let your voice be tamed? Maybe we're a little different, there's no need to be ashamed. You got the light to fight the shadows, so stop hiding it away.
Thank you.